Welcome to class two, week two of our conflict relief experience. If at any point you can't hear me, of course, just throw that in the chat box or the question box, and I will do my best to pay attention to that as well. So let's just close our eyes just for a brief moment, put your feet on the floor, and go internal, go inside, and check in with you. What's the landscape like inside right now? How's the weather in there? Remember, we're going to do our nest exercise really briefly every week, guided by me, so that you have a sense of this. This is a critical check-in tool that you can use with yourself when triggered or upset. It's also a great tool to use with you and your partner or lover, friend, family member. So our eyes are closed, feet are on the floor, and we're looking for the nest. Nest stands for number, right? 0 to 10, remember? 10 is very activated. 1 is I'm available for connection, intimacy, love. E is emotion. S, sensation. Things like hot, cold, tingling, vibrating, tense. You can feel some kind of physical sensation going on in your body. And T are your thoughts. Where is your mind? If you're a little distracted, what's the content? Is it about work? Is it about dinner? Is it about the fight you just got in? Is it about the news? You know, where's your mind kind of rattling off to? So that's our nest. So you're checking in with those four things. And you literally want to come up with a number. So I'll demonstrate here. I'll check in with myself and just say that out loud. Okay, right now I'm at probably a 2. The emotion I'm feeling is excited or energized. The sensation, it's not always an emotion, right? It's an experience. And the sensation is kind of tight in the chest, say right below my collarbones, but then this kind of softness in my belly, and my feet are warm. And then my thoughts are on this call and you and the content of the call. So that's my check-in. Now, if we were sitting in a circle, we would all go around and we would just say the same thing. And sometimes when I lead circles, what we'll do instead of that, because that can take a while, is just one word. So just type in one word. If you're at your computer, you could just type in one word that sums up your nest. That's that little egg in the nest. Could be angry, scared, tense, excited, ready to go. Could be a phrase. We're trying to capture an experience, right? And put it into words so that someone understands what's going on with us. That's all. That's all we're doing. So feel free to, if you can, type something in. So that would require opening eyes. If you don't feel like doing that, no problem. You can just kind of stay internal for a minute. All right, committed is a word I've gotten from someone. 3, hollow and sad. Exposed, someone wrote. And exposed might be, you know, if we had to guess a number there, you could say your number. Same with committed, right? Rushed. All right, so these are just examples. Great. That's good. That's all I need. Thanks, guys. Okay, so you want to do that whenever possible. If your partner's like, hey, how are you? Or hey, what's going on with you? You just go, hold on a second. Let me close my eyes and check in with myself. Now, we don't do that in the car while we're driving or at the grocery store, at the bank or something. But when we're home and we've just gotten into a little conflict or there's some tension going on, it's, hey, can I share what's going on with myself? And will you share what's going on with you? Here's what's going on with me. And you just say, okay, I just need a minute. I just want to check in with myself. And then you share this. Okay? Very straightforward. And again, some of you are like, I don't know what I'm feeling or I don't know what's going on. How do we get to that? Well, yeah, that was me before I ever worked on myself. You know, my first 6 months in therapy, when the woman said, how are you feeling? My answer was, I have no idea, for about 6 months. And then it turned into like numb. And then it was like, it was mostly like numb. And then eventually I started thawing out and it turned into, you know, rage, sadness, grief, despair, all the stuff I had bottled up, right, for so many years. Okay, so last week's homework, we are going to get rolling here. And you have a partner. Some of you have met with that person. Some of you have not. I'm talking about your virtual buddy partner for this class, not your actual partner if you have one. If you have a partner at home and you're going to check in with them all the time, ideally, even if they're like, oh, do we have to do this one more time? You want to encourage it, you know, until you get a clear no from them. And the advantage to having a partner in the class, of course, is you've got someone to practice with that's on the same page and using the same language, right? Shared context, shared tools. So there's nothing to like explain. You're just both in the same game. We're playing the same game together, right? And if you don't want a partner or you want to change one at any point, it gets uncomfortable for you, et cetera, just email Nicole and I and we'll figure it out, okay? So last week's homework also introduced this relationship results ritual. So you're hopefully experimenting with that. I didn't give a ton of instruction about, well, what am I supposed to do for 30 minutes? By the end of the course, that 30 minutes will be pretty crucial, and you'll be using every moment of that. And for some of you, you want to use maybe take an hour. For some of you, it'll be like a 15-minute ritual because that's all you can muster in your life. Either way, you want some kind of check-in ritual in the morning, ideally. Evening is okay, morning's ideal, with yourself to start the day. With a vision of your relationship, with some goals, with a little meditation, with a little nest meditation, right? Things like this. So I will keep adding things, and you can ask me, you know, what about this, what about that? That's fine. But I'll keep adding things, and then I'll give an example of what a 30-minute thing could look like. And in this week's homework, I did that, a little sketch. Okay, the ebook, hopefully you've all read that. Ideally, you want to read that ASAP. Why? Because you're going to have more of a context of where I'm coming from. You're going to get a real strong dose of this habit of ours to change other people and how that causes suffering. And then it starts to introduce the personal operating system and our values, which we're going to get into soon. And then you had to review webinar 3, minutes in for resentment, 3-step process. Okay, apparently I said that. I don't remember that. And I'm going to give you, this week we already have your homework posted, and some of you have already checked that out. Please go there again if you've already seen it with Nicole's update in Facebook. We took that down because I actually needed to add a couple of things. So there's two documents you want to be looking for in this week's homework. One is how to get to the core issue, and the other one's the actual homework assignment. How to get to the core issue is just one exercise in the homework. Okay, hopefully that's clear. All right, so there's a frequently asked questions on our course page. Here's a quick tour of the members' private area. If you haven't been in there, I'm just going to take you very quickly. Here it is, right here. Okay, we've got, this is the top of the page. Slowly it's loading here. Okay, there's the top, week one. We scroll down and there's video one. There's a download of the MP3. There's partner assignments, etc. So week two, here it is. Okay, there'll eventually be a video here and a download of the MP3, right, after this call. And I may add some other things, but you know, that's generally how we're going to roll each week. All right, this week's tools. We want to practice these with our partner at home and our check-in buddy that's in this class. Again, optional, but I want to strongly encourage it because of the shared language and tools, and it's really good practice. The people that go for it and practice every week and even double up, you're going to get the most results, you know, straight up. All right, so we want to learn these when we're below a five. All right, there's four main things we're going to cover today. And number one, a timeout. Number two, no blame. Number three, very active listening. And four, tools within that. And number four, how do we get to this core issue so we can begin to clear it? So let's jump in. As Stan Tatkin reminds us, our brain is designed more for threat than for love. And this is, you know, shown and demonstrated in marketing and intimacy and trauma research and everything else. This is just how we are, right? We're kind of scared animals, folks. And we're just trying to avoid getting hurt and left. And at the end of the day, trying to get our needs met around that. So this is Maslow's hierarchy. It's an interpretation. It's just one of many. If you just Google Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, 1,000 triangles will show up under images, and you can check these out. So at the very bottom there, you can see that it's basically survival needs. And once we have that met, we move up to safety. Once we have that met, we go into love and belonging. And this is more where we are, some of us. Now, if you're dealing with paycheck to paycheck and literally putting food on the table, and some of you may be in that, you're down a notch into safety. You're just barely hanging on there and trying to get your basic safety needs met. Love and belonging, though, most of us are hanging out in there, right? Trying to belong with our partner, trying to not get left, etc. Now, when we get really triggered, we go downhill, basically, to the bottom. And it feels like basic survival sometimes when we get really, really upset. Let's say you get in a car accident, for example. That immediately takes you into survival mode. If we're in a life-threatening experience, we're in survival. Even though, let's say we're a very self-actualized person at the very top in the purple there, we could be that, but car accident, boom, we're down to the ground. And then we slowly climb out of it, right? Once we realize, oh my God, I'm safe, I'm alive, etc. And we go through a lot of micro little spikes of this in relationship with a long-term partner. So to take the scared animal metaphor a little further here, I just have this song I want to play here, just a minute of it. So each wolf will you feed? One makes you strong, one makes you weak. And some will stay and some will leave. And those who know and those who seek, amidst the chaos, find your peace. Which wolf will you feed? One makes you strong, one makes you weak. Amidst the chaos, find your peace. I know which wolf I'll feed. Okay, one of my favorite artists right now, this guy Nako. So we have to ask, which wolf will we feed? Which wolf in you are you going to feed? The one that makes you strong or the one that makes you weak? And when we don't get tools and we constantly react, we're feeding that wolf that makes us weak and turns us into a victim and has us acting out. Right, and we actually do feed that wolf. Some of you feed it with your beliefs about yourself that you got in your childhood that are still running the show. Some of you got it because you got hurt along the way somewhere, whatever. You know, when I'm in my lower self, my more animal self, I'm more impulsive, right? I reach for sugar, Facebook, things that like more checking out behaviors that don't really serve me. That's me. That's an example of me feeding the wolf that makes me weak and doesn't strengthen me over time. We all have certain addictions and habits, right? And behaviors that we go to when we're kind of in our weaker self, we're not very empowered. It's just what we do. And Nako's got a great question there. Well, which one are we going to feed? And every day, all day long, we have choices about that, even though sometimes it feels like we don't. So my aim here is to teach you how to take care of the wounded wolf that wants to run the show, right? That part of us that's hurt, scared, feeling alone, etc. We got to take care of that beautiful, hurt, magical, extraordinary being inside of us. My aim is also to give you a very potent map, tools, and a formula that works and how to work with conflict so that by the end here, you'll have 8 weeks of material to return to as your main reference point to do conflict completely differently than you've done before, right? We're talking about a very big paradigm shift here, which of course gives you more of what you claim you want. Okay, I mentioned view, practice, result here because that's essentially a great simplified version of what we're doing here in this course. I'm giving you a view, I'm giving you practices, and at the end you're going to have a result. One of my Buddhist teachers years and years ago introduced this concept, view, practice, result. So the view was, you know, this Buddhist view, the practice was meditation, the result was, well, we are more at peace or whatever the aim was. So similar here in this course, view, practice, result. Okay, so there's two types of relationship. We're about to dive into the tools, but a couple contextual points first. There's a secure one, and that's a marriage or a contained long-term relationship that's got a container around it of, yeah, we're exclusive. We agree that it's just you and me. There's no threats to the system here. We're safe, and it's all good. Both parties agree, or both parties' central nervous system feels more or less safe because neither person is going anywhere, right? So that's a pretty secure marriage. It's a secure relationship. An insecure one is where one or both people's nervous system is hesitant, fearful, and one or both of you doesn't have 2 feet in. And we have to look at our actions, right? So someone can say, no, no, honey, I love you. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. But their actions don't match the words. They're incongruent, right? So we're just looking for behaviors. And it could be you or them, and your perception may mislead you here, right? So a lot of us think our situation is insecure because when we get triggered, we go to a young place that's threatened, etc., when in actuality, the person's not going anywhere. But it's just our projection, our perception, and our freak out. So we actually create an insecure relationship because of our baggage from childhood. So we have to keep an eye on that. Now, this is a really important point. Remember, if you're 1 foot in or 1 foot out, same thing, the relationship is insecure. And core issues can't or won't get addressed. We can only deal with the deeper issues once we have a secure situation. So I see this with couples all the time. If one person's got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, we actually can't do the work that I'm capable of helping people have massive breakthroughs with. We can't do it because some person is like, they're hesitating. And I know that the landscape of the 1 foot in, 1 foot out really well because that was my life before I met my partner. All right, so the nature of conflict, of course, then is going to change as the security grows. And what I find 12 years in here is that my wife and I keep hitting deeper and deeper issues. So the conflict changes. Our tools are really masterful now, and we're very quick at repairing and everything else. However, we bump into new layers we haven't touched before, and it kind of sends us for a loop. We're like, oh, whoa, what was this? I didn't see this coming. Because the longer we're with someone, if we keep deepening, the deeper of the wound we're going to get into. It's pretty cool and a little uncomfortable for some people. And a reminder that the two things you need in place to succeed here, we got to have a shared view or context. And I put parenting here because I talk to parents sometimes where one of you parents one way and the other parent parents another way. Now, if that's going on, you don't have a shared view there for parenting. You both disagree with how the child needs to be raised, the school they need to go to. So that's an example of not having a shared view or context. And that can just, it's not like a problem. It just leads to more challenges. So if you're in that camp, you have more of a pile to deal with. Shared tools, right? What we're learning here. So everyone in this course has a shared view, which is shared context, and shared tools, right? We could all do relationship with each other very well because we're learning the same thing and then practicing it. It's awesome. So the bonus thing that you need in place is the belief that you can triumph and have what you want, and it can be different for you. I mentioned that on one of the webinars. This is also very important. If you keep believing your old stories that you can't, you're not good enough, you don't deserve it, there's something wrong with you, etc., it's probably not going to happen for you as long as you believe that. But there's a way to overcome that, those old beliefs, right? Okay, so we're going for this. This is just an example of what we want, which is you're on the left, I'm on the right, you and I are in a relationship. The place where those two circles overlap is our sweet spot. It's the place where we have some alignment and we are, you know, have a shared language and tools, and we're moving, you know, moving along in life. And we can be two very different human beings. In fact, often we're opposites, which can drive us crazy, but we've attracted our opposites so that we can embrace the other side of us that we've disowned and rejected our whole life. First tool here, timeout. This is a very simple one, and we often hear this in sports, and we also hear it in parenting. Parents will give their kids timeouts, and usually it's the parent that needs the timeout, in my experience. We don't do timeouts in our house, except for the grown-ups. The grown-ups take timeouts in our house. So this is a simple boundary, right? We're talking about boundaries. Some of you are starting to ask about boundaries. This is a simple boundary to use in order to take care of yourself and get clear on what's going on, i.e. you go do the nest little meditation, right? You find out, whoa, I'm really blown out here. What's up? I'm an 8. I'm really enraged. I can barely think straight. Okay, this is my sign that I shouldn't talk to my partner right now because I'm not going to say anything useful when I'm an 8. There's two basic types of timeouts. One is just I need space, the one I just mentioned there. And then the second one is when we choose to interrupt you or the other person. In our culture, particularly in America here, we are polite, believe it or not. And when someone's talking, most kids are taught to just listen. And so it's fascinating to watch like couples go at it. When they're in a fight, they don't listen at all. And they're constantly interrupting each other. But when like an authority figure comes in, people like just listen and they don't talk and they kind of get into their good boy, good girl thing. Anyway, it's really critical if you want to truly understand someone to interrupt them. You want to interrupt them. And I'm going to demonstrate how to do that. So we'll be practicing these along the way. The next one here, which you warmed up last week with just this fun 8-week interesting commitment to see if you can go a whole 8 weeks with not blaming anyone, or that's unrealistic, right? So the commitment to not blame people, and what that does, it just brings awareness to how much we blame and it starts having us pay attention. So hopefully everyone's agreed to, yeah, I'm just for an experiment. I'm going to say I'm not going to blame for 8 weeks anybody. Politicians, the government, my parents, my partner, my dog. I'm just not going to do it. And watch what happens. So try it. We want to get the attention off our partner or the person we're in conflict with and onto ourselves. This is very habituated behavior where people just focus on the other person. Well, if you just, if you only, I mean, this is how people talk. So a lot of you are in this habit and you want to break that habit and start turning the attention on yourself. And not in a blaming way, right? In a responsible way. We also don't want to defend or justify. Now, this is also really common. You accuse me of something and I defend myself. My wife says, you don't get me, you don't understand me. And if I'm in my insecure moment, what am I going to say? Yeah, I am. Yeah, I do. I'm totally following you. I'm listening to every word you're saying. Do you want me to repeat it? I'll go right into, and what am I doing? I'm just defending myself and justifying. And that doesn't go anywhere. So you want to set that behavior on the shelf for a while. If you're trying to, you know, debate someone or you're in a courtroom or something, there's a place for defending and justifying, but not in the heat of the moment. It's not going to do you any good. Okay, so we want to just own what I remember I did or didn't do. Yes, dear, I dropped the ball there. I didn't pick up Johnny when I said I would. That's an example. Yeah, honey, my bad. I didn't take out the trash. Thanks for reminding me again. Damn, I want to be more on that. I don't know what I need to do to get in place to like remember these things. You see, I'm just talking about myself. I'm not saying, well, you didn't remind me. Or I didn't see the piece of paper. Like, everyone wants to absolve responsibility, right? Just, we're going for, huh, where am I responsible? And one more piece there is, you know, we want to use I language, I statements. That's going to help us take responsibility. And I'm demonstrating that a lot. I think it's pretty intuitive, but if you have questions, please ask. So this, we want to talk about very active listening. And again, most people in my experience don't know how to listen in a long-term relationship because you're listening the way you were trained as a kid in school or to authoritative parents. And most people just listen silently. That's called passive listening. And they just nod their head and they kind of check out. And if the person talks a lot, they're not, you know, not really there. It's two people just not really there. So since you're already impacted by your partner's words, especially in a fight, right? There's already activation going on. So listen with the goal of tuning into that impact in yourself and knowing what it is and then how to share it succinctly. And that leads into our first tool under very active listening, which is sharing impact. Jay Abraham said, communicate with impact or don't communicate at all. And we're going to flip that around into listening. You want to listen to feel and get the impact. Or what are you doing there? You want to be tuning into yourself and them. And this is a skill that actually takes training over time to listen to the other person and stay connected to myself. You want to do both. But what I'm encouraging you to do is pay more attention to yourself than them for a little while. So here's an example of sharing impact. Wow, when you shared that, I felt really inspired. Holy cow. I just felt my chest open and I all of a sudden felt this rush of energy. Dang, it feels so good to listen to you right now. Okay, that's sharing impact. Another thing I could say is, honey, when you just said jerk, like I heard everything and then I heard jerk, I felt defensive, angry, and I started to shut down. I'm just sharing the impact. And if both parties do that, this is an amazing tool. It's very simple and goes a long way. This one you want to do the rest of your life, in your job, everywhere. I do this with my kids. I do this everyone I meet. When someone shares something and I'm impacted, I just say that. Wow. Listening to you, I just kind of had this rush of excitement. Or, huh, I was listening to you and I got a little lost. That's me sharing the impact. And then guess what? The other person, if they're insecure and they're kind of in it, they're probably going to react to what I'm saying. That's their problem at that point. And then I just have to keep staying with myself. So at some point here on the live call, I'm going to demonstrate this with one of you and we'll just kind of model it. But for now, I'm just going to keep moving here. So getting their world is another part of very active listening. And I borrow this term from Guy Sainsock and Decker Kunov, some of the guys in the circling world. I just love this term, getting someone's world. I really want to get your world. Like, what are you like? How do you operate? What's your story? What's your deal? Why are you so angry? What's going on over there? And so I'm going to ask all kinds of questions to try to get someone. And I do this for a living, so I'm good at it. And it's a skill that I want you to get good at because it's only going to help you do conflict. So to get someone's world, though, we've got to interrupt them. We can't just listen, and we got to get out of that old habit, and we got to, you know, time out. Wait. I want to make sure I'm following you, you know. Did you say this or did you mean that? So that's an example of a timeout, like time, whoa, hold on. I want to follow you. I need to catch up, but you're going a little fast. I want to make sure I've got the story. Are you saying when you went there, this is what happened? Is that what you mean? Right? So I'm just trying to understand them. So here's a couple examples of sentences you can use. Wait, did you mean this or that? Wait, I lost you. Let me make sure I got this so far. Can you slow down? I want to make sure I get this. Okay, those are examples of slowing down to try to get someone's world. There's a lot more to this tool, but this is just we're just warming up here. But you get the idea. And in one of the webinars, I showed you the second agreement of the 10 agreements to a powerful, empowered, amazing, indestructible marriage, which is, I am committed to understanding you no matter how long it takes me. That's the desire and interest in getting someone's world. We want to have this attitude with our partner. And if we're hurt by them and we have lots of baggage we haven't dealt with and there's stuff that's been brushed under the rug, I need to plow through that pile before I can be genuinely interested, right? Because a lot of us get hurt over the years and we start to calcify and contract around that. And we're not actually genuinely interested in who they are. We're kind of believing our story about them. And it's really sad when this happens because the two of you are like strangers in the night and you're missing each other. And your hearts are covered over, right, with some kind of fungus or something that's grown there. Once we get someone, we want to... I put number two. Validating. This is why I'm not my best editor. Number three of the listening skills here. Validating. Now, this is critical. Again, took me years with my wife because I think I was a little dense here. And I still had to burn through some of my defensiveness and justification stuff. But we want to connect. This is the simplest way to think about it. You want to connect two parts of their share. Oh, that makes sense. That's what you would say. I just ran a marathon, I'm really tired, and I hurt my ankle. Let's say someone says that. Well, how do I validate that? I say, oh, you just run a marathon and you messed up your ankle again? Let's say I know them, and I know their history of an ankle. I go, oh, that makes sense that you're annoyed and frustrated with that because you hurt your ankle the last time you tried to run a marathon. I get it, man. You're pissed. How frustrating is that? Okay, so I just validated them. Well, here's another one. Oh, when you told me you were scared, something clicked for me. It makes sense that you're scared because when you get scared, you shut down. And you grew up in a family where you felt scared a lot. And your go-to thing was to shut down. So it makes sense that you're shutting down right now, right? That's all I'm doing. I connect past with present. And I go, that makes sense. Okay, we're going to get into the personal operating system next time. I want to keep delaying that because I want to give you time and I want to invite you to ask me questions. I'm getting some great questions that also can inform these calls. So if you have questions about this, you want to ask. Ideally, you're playing with that on page 25 of the ebook and it's making sense to you maybe intellectually, but you're having a hard time with the exercise. You're like, wait, what is this? I will say one thing, that the highest valued thing you have on that list, the highest preference and priority in your life, the thing that you need no external motivation to do, is usually your mission, your life purpose. It's the reason you get up every day. And it isn't necessarily your job. For some of you, you might be in an unhappy job. It's actually your, you might value then security or safety, or value something that the work or the job provides you or gives you. It could be a subtle thing like that. So you don't want to put things like work. You want to ask, what does work give me? All right, so there's a hint as you begin to work on that. All right, so we're going to do one more piece here, and then I'm going to take some questions, and because I don't want to overwhelm you with too much. So remember the three steps, right, of how to clear a big conflict. We're going to start moving into this. So we have a mindset shift, right, that every conflict is an opportunity. That's the 180. It's arising for a reason, to heal us, to help us grow, to help us be ourselves and be more authentic. So number one, we reparent ourselves, which you're getting little tastes of, right, with the nest exercise, for example. Setting a boundary, calling a timeout, and going into your bedroom or your office and taking space so that you can be with that hurt, wounded boy or girl living inside of you. Number two, get to the real issue. That's what we're going to talk about here. How do we do that? And then we'll get to reparenting them. But a couple of the tools, validating and getting someone's world and listening very actively, is a way to reparent them. It's huge. All right, so how to get to the core issue. So here's some of my core issues over the years that I've uncovered. I'm inadequate. I'm not lovable as I am. I will be engulfed in a loving relationship and cease to exist. Okay, you might laugh at that one, but when I first was dealing with this, when I finally got 2 feet in, well, I actually wasn't 2 feet in yet, but as I moved towards 2 feet in, with my wife, the first biggest issue I had to burn through was this. Because I grew up with a mom who needed me a lot. And so she was in my space a lot. And I just had to kind of submit to her needy energy. And so growing up, I felt completely violated around my boundaries energetically and engulfed by the feminine mom. So naturally, what am I going to confront when I finally get past the 6 month mark in a relationship? Is this is going to be the first thing. I'm going to feel like I want out. You're suffocating me. This is claustrophobic. Go away. And I make women wrong to get space, right? That was kind of first level. Second level is, oh, this is just between me and my mom. And I feel like my wife loving me is triggering all this stuff around. I feel completely engulfed here and I don't know what to do. I mean, it would send my nervous system into high alert when she was just caring for me, wanting to spend time with me. So I had to burn through that one, and it was intense. But that one doesn't come up anymore, which is really cool. And then another one here is, I feel abandoned and alone. So these are my main core issues. And yours are going to be some variation of these, because most of them are all about like losing relationship, feeling rejected. And then they trigger beliefs, right? Notice how I'm inadequate is like a belief that arises out of an injury, such as feeling engulfed or abandoned. Oh, there's something wrong with me. I'm fundamentally flawed in some way. I'm worthless. I'm not worthy of love. Okay, so this is your homework. And I've been having meetings with some of you, and I'm really enjoying those. I offered, 10 people on one of those webinars, a 15-minute call with me, and I'm having those calls, and it's really beautiful to kind of get in there with you. And fortunately for me, I'm not working that hard, because a lot of you seem savvy enough to get the connection that there's, oh yeah, this, my partner is triggering this older injury in me, and here's what the injury seems to be. Okay, so we can't clear it. We can't start to chip away at this thing until we know exactly what it is. And talking about it more in therapy and things like that isn't going to do it for you, in my judgment. It can help get to it, you know, get to the core issue, which is what we're doing here. But eliminating it, you know, there's a few different ways we're going to talk about. Homework. So this is your big homework, and some of you are already working on this, is what's the real issue here? I'm asking you to pick one, okay? Notice how I listed four there, and I have a lot of little tributaries maybe of each one of these where I could stem off and say, well, inadequate, yeah, and it's like I need to get it right, or you want to go for the deepest issue here. It's not things like sad and angry and stuff. Those are emotions. It's usually below hurt. There's some deep kind of existential thing that you experienced as a kid that comes up in your relationship now. All right, so you're going to email that to Nicole, and she's going to compile them in a Google Doc. I want to see every single one of you's your core issue written in one sentence. My core wound is, and just boom, one sentence. No stories, no long explanations, just what you think it is. Okay, that's it. And I think it's an 11-step exercise as part of the homework that's now posted in week 2 in the portal there, if you want to go there during this call or after, and just click on that, and there's 11 questions. And why don't I just pull that up? Let's see, hold on. Well, actually, I'm not going to. If one of you has a question about it, I'll come back to it. Okay, so that's part of the homework. There's more in the homework, but that's the big one for this week. Excuse me, a little sip of water here. All right. So someone's asking, how do we review webinar 3? So if I talk about past webinars, for example, all the webinars are in on that same webinar replay page, and it's password protected. The password is my name. So if you want to go back and see any of those are all for anyone in this course. You can watch those as many times as you want. Okay. So I want to respond to this question first, because some of you emailed me some questions and I said I would reply on this call, so I'm going to do that. How's our time? Okay, we're good. All right, so here's one. What do you do when you receive angry words and accusations that you feel aren't accurate or fair? I know arguing the legitimacy of the accusations is a losing strategy. Good call. Okay, so my answer here is get their world, validate, and then set a boundary. So if I receive angry words and accusations that I feel aren't accurate or fair, let's say a coworker, my boss is like, you never come in on time, and I've seen your paperwork, and you're making all these errors, and then I just all of a sudden start to feel attacked and criticized, right? And it's probably not going to do me a lot of good to defend myself or justify. So what do I do? Well, here's what I would do. I call a timeout, set a boundary of some kind if I'm getting heated, and I say, okay, hold on, I really want to hear what you have to say, and I'm noticing I'm getting really activated and it's hard to stay with you, so I need a break. Well, you can't leave me right now? Yeah, I can. I'm going to go take a break. And I go take a break, and then I come back when I'm a little more resourced. I'm like, okay, damn, this is intense. And the first thing I say is, okay, I'm a little more resourced. I want to understand what you're saying, and I need you to go slow, and let me see if I have it right so far. You think my paperwork is I've made a lot of mistakes, and in your world, I'm never on time, and there was one other thing. Is that right? So I basically am like, did I get it right so far? I'm trying to get their world, right? How they see me, that's what I'm trying to get. And then they go, yeah, yeah, it's that. And then you did this other thing. And I go, oh, okay, there was one. Oh, I see, there was one more thing. Yeah, all right, given all that, I could see how you would think I'm like subpar as an employee. If that's how you're seeing me, that totally makes sense. I would want to fire me if I was you too. Right? I'm entering their world. I'm understanding what it's like to be them. I'm putting myself in their shoes and seeing the world from their vantage point. And I go, oh, that makes sense. Now, I understand that's hard to do, especially if it's your husband or wife and you've been with them for a long time and this is like this big issue. And that's the work, folks. You want to be that masterful where they blame and you go, oh, you're okay, I'm an asshole. Okay, can you tell me a little bit more about how exactly I'm an asshole? Like, what was the behavior that I did that had you feeling that way and judging me like that? What did I do? Well, you blah, 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 never always. Oh, so it was that. Uh-huh. Okay, I can see that now, because if I were you, yeah, that makes sense, because, you know, when people do that to me, that upsets me too. Right? See what I just did? So you're right in that it's no need to defend and argue legitimacy. Well, yeah, I do. I always, look at me, I'm on time all the time. That's, when people are in it, that does nothing. The thing that's de-escalating them is you validating them. The quickest way to de-escalate a fight is take responsibility for your part and validate their experience. That's you being the mature adult. That's you being resourced. And that's why you need to learn all these tools so you can get resourced. Because this is an amazing skill. It's like putting out a fire instantly. Someone lashes out at you and boom, the fire's put out in 5 minutes. Just by validating them, getting their world. Okay, here's another question. How do I know when to address an issue or trigger expectation, undesirable behavior, excuse me, with my spouse, and when I just need to go deal with it on my own? I think this is a really important question, right? Because there's some things that are really just about us, where we just need to go work with ourselves. But when we get into the non-negotiable pillars, let's say I'm a woman and my husband's viewing porn, and our sex life is really not very good, let's say. And let's say that I'm not satisfied there, I'm frustrated, and I want it to be different. And they're surfing porn. Well, that's going to be a deal breaker. That's going to be one where I'm like, this isn't working for me, right? So it's an undesirable behavior. It's totally not okay with me. Why? Because it's impacting our sex life in a negative way. If he was surfing porn and it was impacting our life in a positive way, our sex life, then I might be like, wow, this is kind of helping us. Interesting. I never thought I would be a yes to this, but okay. Right? So if it's hurting our relationship and I have evidence for that, like we're not having sex and our sex life is very strained and challenged and vulnerable and like uncomfortable and like, and, you know, it's like this bridge we've got to cross to get there, then I'm going to make that one an issue. If someone's having an emotional affair, that is something to bring up. That's an undesirable behavior that's like, no. You know, as soon as we get into like, we have agreements here and that's out of bounds and we haven't like cleaned it up and repaired it. Let's say it happened a year or two ago. If we haven't done that, there's still, the emotional affair is still in the space and it needs to be dealt with. And if your partner is resistant and doesn't ever want to deal with that and has compartmentalized it and put it in a box and said, well, hey, that was in the past and I'm all done with it, you can't really make them talk about it. Right? You can't drag them to therapy or someplace and make them talk. They have a right to just do it their way if that's what they want. And again, for you, that's all the more reason to move on. Why would you want to be with someone who doesn't respect you enough and honor you to clear something until it's done? So for example, I would say to my wife, honey, I know I hurt you. And I don't like that I hurt you. And I want to know what you need to, by way of repairing, to have you feel like you trust me again and that we're cool and that you can relax your nervous system and we can just love each other again. Because I'm with you. I made a mistake and I'm in now. I learned from that mistake and I'm here. And I want to do whatever it takes to clear this out. Now, if you continue to have trust issues with a response like that, and you're like now 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and you don't trust me, and but my behavior and my actions are like I'm showing up, now that's your issue. You're dealing with your trust stuff that probably from your childhood, and you won't let down, and it's hard for you to open again. That's yours to go work on. Okay, hopefully that helps, that distinction there. Okay. Will I say more about the difference between an operating system and a priority list, or is it the same thing? The personal operating system is a priority list, but it's not just priorities, it's preferences, priorities, and values that run our life through our actions. It's not what you and it's not what you want it to be, it's what your life demonstrates. Okay, another couple questions coming in here. These are good ones, guys. Hopefully my responses are helping you. And if they are, certainly let me know. If you have a question about the question, fire away. We got a little more time here. Okay, on one question I have is about the no blame and total responsibility instead. I'm someone who naturally blames myself. Yeah, there's other blamers and self-blamers, right? Is there a way to more constructively accept responsibility without self-hating? Absolutely. Okay, yeah, good one. So for the self-blamers out there, this is an important question. Because you tend to do the responsibility thing as like a, oh, I'm such an asshole. I can't believe I did that. I'm such a jerk, etc. So there's a big difference between that and I own that I did that, and that's on me, and I'm living with that now and working with that. Right? That's a difference. Just energetically feels different. It is different, and it can be different for you. So one of the ways I like to work with the self-blamers is you need to start making a list of things you don't like about yourself. And find all the ways in which it's serving you and has served you. So for example, you grew up with parents who were really critical, let's say, and you introjected their criticism on yourself without knowing. You just kind of through osmosis, you just took on, you know, your dad, let's say, was hard on himself. Maybe he wasn't hard on you, but let's say he was hard on himself. And he just sort of transmitted that to you, and now you're hard on yourself. Or you had an abusive dad, and he was hard on you, and you took it on, and you became his voice inside your head, right? That's the voice that you chose to take on. Either way, you want to stack up the benefits to how that critical behavior has served you. And it served you well, I'm sure. It's motivated you to do all kinds of things. So you want to look at every corner of that, of how it's helping you. And then, of course, you want to stack up the drawbacks so they equalize. And that balances it out and neutralizes the trait of self-hating, let's say. Well, what are the drawbacks to that? Well, when I hate myself, I'm not attractive to be around. And my partner doesn't want to be with me. Okay, what's another drawback? Another drawback to talking down to myself is that it keeps me stuck where I am in my career, and I don't move forward. So, you know, you want to see all the drawbacks and all the benefits. And we're going to get into that, benefits and drawbacks, by the way, as we start to clear this core issue, because that's the main tactic we're taking here. We've got to neutralize this thing in the mind, and then that translates in the body. Okay, so hopefully that helps a little bit there. Okay, a couple more here. What is the longest break do you think you could take? I'm assuming you mean kind of boundaries. Is that what you mean? If that's what you mean in terms of like, hey, honey, I need a break, time out. You don't for me, there's got to be a time limit on it, like an hour, 10 minutes, you know, tomorrow morning, those kind of things. There's brain research that shows that the longer we wait, the more myelination in the brain gets stuck in the fear response and the hypervigilant ways, right? So of the body. So that's the scared animal. So the longer we wait to repair, the more damage it's doing to our brain. And again, read Daniel Siegel, Stan Takin, and those guys. So they're finding this. And so it's imperative that you repair and come back as quickly as you're able. And I don't think it's far-fetched to say that you can have a 24-hour turnaround time, no problem. But you got to be on it, right? You got to be on your own stuff. You got to know yourself well and have tools to calm down. And you don't need to wait a week to go to your therapist to talk about it or to confide in your closest friend. You need to have tools you can do on your own. And that's what I'm teaching you here. You go in the other room and you reparent yourself in that moment. And you start seeing the benefits also to this situation happening right now. So, okay, it's my goal by the end of the course that you're going to be solid here and you're going to have at least one issue that you can do this with. And you're like, I got me. And I can come back around fast. I can do this. So the sooner the better. Bottom line, right? Okay, can you talk about boundaries? I've watched both of your videos several times, but I feel I need more info or tools. I'm going back in time and wondering if I had boundaries in childhood. I really struggle here. Thanks. Yeah, maybe we'll spend time on boundaries. Boundaries are a big one, and boundaries are necessary for us in a long-term partnership to have, you know, just to have the capacity to do that, to say no, for example. A lot of us grew up in families where we had to say yes, and it's hard for us to say no because we got hurt when we said no, right? We had to go along with the big people. You know, I was a classic example. So one of the things I had to work out with my wife, because I grew up with an engulfing mother, was boundaries. I had to tell my wife, honey, I'm not available tonight, and then see her get her feelings hurt. And then that would upset me, and then I'd feel abandoned. So I was either engulfed or abandoned. I was like, screwed. Lose. It was the perfect trap to keep me tethered to, like, dealing with this. Like, I couldn't run. So I got really good at boundaries, and now my boundaries are pretty solid. If enough of you ask me specific questions about boundaries, I can get into that. So hopefully that helps. In this class around conflict, we're just talking about one boundary, which is the timeout boundary. Just timeout, hold on, I need space, that kind of boundary, because it's happening in the heat of the moment, right? Eventually you want to learn proactive boundaries so that, like, it's Friday night coming up, your husband or wife is kind of expecting you hang out with them or something, and you know that if you you don't want to, and you know, though, if you say no, they're going to get hurt and upset and then come after you a little bit and blame. So, but you would need to stick to your guns if that's your truth and say, no, I need to hang with my friends, or I need to be alone Friday night. That's a need of mine. And, you know, I'd like that. I actually don't want to hang out with you Friday night. And we can be compassionate and caring when we say those things. It can sound harsh. It doesn't have to be, though. But loving ourselves like that is where it's at. Yeah, more examples on validation. Someone's wanting that. So, yeah, you type in the, like, most mean thing your partner can say to you. Just type that in. Or someone type in, I'll validate some feelings here. Just type in, like, what, you know, you are such a jerk, blah, 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 blah. So I'll wait for your response. You're annoying. Okay. So tell me more about me being annoying. Can you, you know, what do you mean by that? You roll your eyes. So I roll my eyes? Okay, yeah, I do roll my eyes sometimes. Or let's say they roll their eyes. So be specific here. Use, talk to me. I'm asking you, Michelle, talk to me as if you and I are talking and I'm your partner. I'm you, you be your partner, okay? Standing by. Someone else can chime in too here. Just like say the, be your partner and say the hurtful thing. And I'll be you, right? Any one of you can do that. And I just want to demonstrate validating for a minute. Okay, so here she is. All right, so you say, well, if you would just quit talking, then we wouldn't be sitting here still arguing. Okay, so you're frustrated, right? It seems like you want to stop talking because in your world, that would stop the fight and we wouldn't be sitting here arguing. Is that right? So I'm getting their world. And he says, yeah, yeah. I mean, totally. You just, all you want to do is talk about it. Yeah, I do like to talk about it. You're right. I do. And I'm getting right now that for you, it's really frustrating because you have an expectation that we don't fight like this and don't talk this much. Is that right? Yeah, so it makes sense that you're annoyed and frustrated with me because I want to talk about it all the time. Totally makes sense. I hear you loud and clear. Right. So I'm validating him. And he eventually softens the more I do that. I got to be present and I need to pay attention to everything he's saying. Okay, back to boundaries just for a minute. I'm talking about boundaries where I make an agreement with someone and the other person breaks the boundary repeatedly. Okay, so that's like a kid. If kids are breaking boundaries constantly, two things are happening there. One is I'm not setting them firm enough. That's the first place I look, is if my kid is constantly testing boundaries, I need to be more clear in my boundaries. People think they're being clear and they're usually not. They're being wishy-washy, they're incongruent. They set the boundary, but they're scared shitless of the reaction. So they kind of have one foot in and one foot out of the boundary. We all feel that, and it sends a mixed message, and so people keep pushing the boundary because they want to know where the edge is. So you got to be really firm, especially if it's with a kid. And then eventually if they break my boundaries repeatedly, again, that's on me. It's me allowing them to break my boundaries. So you got to take total responsibility here. How am I allowing my boundaries to be broken over and over again? How am I allowing that? Because again, when you're firm and clear, it doesn't happen. They're like an animal. They eventually submit to the boundary if you don't budge. That's my experience. All right. Nice. 9:04 Mountain Time. I can take a couple more questions if anyone has any, even about the homework or anything else. So I got one more here. How do you handle when someone won't accept you calling for a timeout? I need to do two things. One, I got to tell them when we're cool, like when our brains are chilled out, when I'm a below a five and they're a below a five. Hey, heads up. When we get in fights, I'm going to be setting a boundary and calling a timeout most likely because I get hijacked by the back part of my brain and I don't usually say anything worthwhile once that happens. So heads up, when we fight again, because we will, I'm going to call a timeout and go take space in my room. How would that be for you? And then I listen to their response. And if I'm saying it from a calm, caring place, they're going to be like, okay, that's fine. They're going to forget, though, when you're in the heat of the moment, and they're going to be angry. If it's this type of person that, quote unquote, won't accept you for calling the timeout. So that's step one, is be proactive, heads up. It's part of our agreements. Hey, just this is how we roll. This is how I roll now in this relationship. It's coming. I'm going to be setting boundaries. You know, I like to give people warning. And if it's in the moment and they've forgotten or they don't know and they freak out, let's say they react and they come after me, I'm going to leave the house and I'll get in my car and drive away. So it's up to me again to hold the boundary. And I have to be ferocious enough. But most people buckle because their partner starts freaking out and they get scared. So you're probably getting scared somewhere in there. You have a threshold that you can't tolerate their reactivity, i.e. your reactivity, and you buckle. So the firm person doesn't tolerate it, and the person comes at them, and they just they leave the house and get in the car and drive away. And they say, you know, on the way out, they yell over their shoulder, "I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back in an hour. You know, don't text me. I'll text you," kind of thing. And if they block the doorway, you call the cops. And now they have a domestic violence charge, and they go spend 9 months in a domestic violence group, and they have to deal with themselves. And hopefully that'll get them to wake up and pay attention to how freaked out they are around being abandoned. You know, you got to be firm with people. You're dealing with a child in that moment who's scared and freaking out, and they need a parent to set the boundary. Even though they're screaming and throwing a tantrum at the boundary, that's exactly what they need. You know, folks, we got to get serious here around caring about ourselves that much. That if my partner freaks out, that is their problem. That is not my issue anymore. My issue is my issue. I got to work over here on my stuff. I already got a whole pile full. I don't need to deal with you and yours. So other people freaking out when you set a boundary is not a problem. And you got to get that in your head and work with that intellectually until you can get it in your being, until you're like, yeah, that's your journey. And I'm serious. I will not talk to you anymore. Click, hang up the phone, walk out the door, and I will return in an hour, a day, 12 hours, and then I leave. And if I forget to tell them in the moment, then I send a text 5 minutes later and say, "I'll be back in X time. I love you." Right? We need those little reminders. "I love you, and I'm not going to be spoken to this way. I'm leaving." Things like that. Okay, hopefully that helps. All right. What if the behavior that the boundary is set for is hidden historically? I need more info than that. Give me an example. When I clarify the boundary that I thought was my clear, my son accuses me of changing the agreement to suit my needs. That's okay. He's going to accuse you of all kinds of things. Don't worry about it. I tell him that I'm clarifying it. I'm not changing it. It's very frustrating. Yeah, stop. See, you're defending and justifying. You don't need to do that. You say it one time and you don't explain yourself. That's it. I stated the boundary. It's clear. Well, no, it's not. You changed it. I hear you that you think I changed it. I'm leaving. Here's the boundary. Whatever. Right? Okay, at some point we'll model these on the phone here. If you guys would like that, we can do that. We can kind of do more call style where you're actually speaking and you and I are going back and forth. I think that would be useful. I'm kind of getting that right now. Ruth, if you have a more specific, that'd be good. The homework in week one refers to a meditation. Can you say more about that? Yeah, so every week on the call, we're doing a 5 minute max meditation where I guide you into your experience, right? And you do a nest. You do a number, emotion, sensation, thoughts. That's the meditation we're talking about. And there's another meditation that I'll guide you in. You can also, I think, get this download free on my website, which is the Hurt Kid meditation, where I guide you into kind of retrieving this little being in yourself that's just freaking out, hurting, scared, alone, and you parent, and you just like show up like an amazing mom or dad to that little person. I find that useful. That one's been a game changer for me over the years. So If you want more instruction there, we can do that. Okay, if I set a boundary about a friendship with a female friend my partner had at work. Okay, let me review that. Hold on. Okay, what if the behavior that the boundary is set for is hidden historically? I set a boundary about a friendship with a female friend my partner had at work. I still don't totally get it. And so the behavior was hidden. How do I maintain a boundary when the other person isn't being honest? I think I understand that part. It's still a little unclear to me, but what I understand you're asking is that last question, how do I maintain a boundary when the other person isn't being honest? Again, I think I'd need more specifics on the example. What is the other person actually doing? And why do you feel like you need a boundary in the first place? Yeah, I'm a little confused. If you want to write that one up, Ruth, and just kind of type me up the story in a paragraph, then maybe I can bring it up next week. How's that sound? Yeah, cool. All right. Great being with you guys. It's almost a quarter after, so let's call it here. Thanks again. Dive into the homework. If you have questions, please ask. Get to that core issue. I have more calls next week with some of you. If you have need help, you can ask your partner. Certainly you can reach out to me if you feel really stuck, and I'll help you get there. Okay, so have a great one, and we'll talk next time. And I think we're at noon Mountain Time next week, so check the schedule. Thanks.